Hi, you're listening to the Raise the Vibe with Liz podcast. I'm your host, Liz Peterson. I interview today's inspirational speakers and healers. Thank you for listening to the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm Liz Peterson, and this is Raise the Vibe with Liz. And today I am interviewing Satya Leela. For those of you who aren't aware of Satya, she is the founder of the Sexual Communion Program, has taught and guided people in the area of sacred sexuality since 1993, with over 15,000 hours of client sessions under the belt and having led hundreds of workshops across the US and Japan. She specializes in helping women and couples to enhance their intimate connections, to allow the erotic divine energies to move through them and feel the ecstatic, bliss of a sacred sexual connection and enjoy epic earth-shattering love play. Satya, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's really good to be here.
It's so great to have you. I was listening to a couple of your podcasts this morning, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation around erotic, divine, feminine, and sacred sexuality. I practice it myself. It's been life-changing for me, and it's removed societal conditioning, the patriarchy, shame, it's healed trauma, you know, from past relationships, and really opened me up and opened my life up beyond the bedroom. So I'm super excited to have you to share your years and years of experience with sacred sexuality. And I want to just kind of jump right into you and, you know, your journey to sacred sexuality and how that's changed your life and where you're at with that right now.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, it's really great to be talking with somebody who knows it like you do. That's wonderful. And the same happened for me when I first got into studying sacred sexuality. I had too many things came through at once.
That's okay. That happens to me too.
Yeah. I experienced a lot of that, what you mentioned with the opening up from the very beginning of when I started studying sacred sexuality. My life just kept getting more and more expansive and more easy and more joyful. And that's a process that has continued for 30 years now. I've been teaching, and it's an amazing energy that really, really makes life flow so much more beautifully. Yeah.
It does.
And I want to mention one thing before we get more deeply into it. You may have noticed I have a little tremor in my hand, and that's from Parkinson's disease. I have early stages of Parkinson's, and running sexual energy is actually really, really good for it. And I haven't progressed very much because of that, I think, because of that, the joyous, light, bubbly energy that pervades my lifestyle. I think it keeps me healthy, and it certainly keeps me happy.
You definitely are glowing. Thank you for sharing that, speaking to your truth, speaking to that, naming it, and being in your authentic self. I really appreciate you showing up that way.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's get into erotic divine feminine. So describe what that is, what it is to you, and how you teach that to your clients.
Okay. Well, first I want to say that the erotic divine feminine isn't necessarily completely connected with having a woman's body. There are men that have a very strong erotic feminine nature, and there are women that really don't connect with that. So I'm not saying that every woman has to, you know, embrace this aspect of herself. But there are many women that where it is appropriate for them, and, you know, helps them blossom. So the erotic divine feminine is kind of like an archetype. It's an aspect of us. There are many aspects of us as a woman. You know, there's the mother, there's the crone, there's the warrior, there's the healer. You know, there's many, many different aspects. And one of those aspects is the erotic feminine and the erotic divine. And those three different concepts really intertwine, the erotic and the divine and the feminine. In sacred sexuality teachings, a lot of eroticism is really centered around the woman's response, the woman's pleasure, because we have this capacity to open up so big and so deep, and huge energy can move through us. And in the ancient teachings basically said, it's, you know, the woman's partner's role to help her open up, and then she can help him. She creates the portal and then helps him through it. He creates a container for her. She opens up, creates a portal, and brings him through it. And I'm using him and she as shorthand, because there's so much fluidity in gender expression that I don't want to negate anybody's experience. And so when I say he or she, what I'm really talking about is active or receptive. Active being the young male, penetrative kind of energy, and receptive being the feminine yin, quieter kind of energy. So, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. What are the advantages of having that well-developed erotic divine feminine within and holding that space where, you know, there is that divine masculine and that divine feminine within all genders and people, beings? So, you know, what are the benefits of having that being well-developed within us?
Well, it's life force energy. I mean, it's energy that makes babies. You know, that's about as full of life force as you can get, you know. It doesn't have to go into making a baby. You can channel that energy into whatever you desire, whatever your heart wants to support. There are ways of there are energy pathways in the body and ways of channeling that energy into what you're wanting to manifest in the world, or channeling it into your heart, for instance, so that your heart can be wide open, or channeling it to your third eye, your center of intuition, so that you wake up your visionary capacity, or channeling it to the crown, where we connect with the divine. So it's a beautiful, holy, powerful energy that makes life flow more smoothly and easily. When you're in this flowing energy, everything just kind of falls into place. Synchronicities happen. You know, you think about calling somebody and they show up before you even can call them. Today I was thinking about a particular kind of work that I have done with a few people when I was lying in bed this morning before I woke up. And when I opened up my email, there was an email from somebody who wants to do that work. And I hadn't, you know, I hadn't thought about that person. But, you know, it's just like, boom, you know, magic happens, because it's a magical flow. And the more you can let that flow moves through your body, the more you're in tune and tapped in with the magic, and you're allowing the synchronicities and magical things to happen. It's really fun.
Yes, it is. And my audience knows I love the magic in life. Yeah. That's really what I live for. Speaking into that and like developing that, let's talk about the blocks that can block us from really stepping into that, you know, erotic self.
Yes, thank you. There's a lot of, it's challenging. We've all grown up in this culture that is so sex negative. You know, there's a pervasive shame about sexuality that even when you've done a lot of work, it's still in the culture. I remember dressing one morning to teach a workshop, a tantra workshop, and I put on some kind of thin knit pants that were kind of like yoga pants, and I didn't have underwear on them under them. And I looked up in the mirror and I went, oh, I better put some underwear on because you can see the outline of my yoni in these pants. And I've been teaching tantra for 20 years at that point, you know, but there's still that, you know, that unconscious shame, and that even though I didn't really think it was shameful to have a yoni, I didn't want to display it and risk offending people and risk them turning off to my message because they were shocked, or, you know. So there's this like giant unspoken heavy layer of shame that permeates sexuality, and it's the shame leads to repression, and the repression leads to obsession. So we have this dichotomy in this culture of repression and obsession about sexuality, and both of those feed each other, and neither of those are healthy. You know, in a healthy relationship with your sexuality, it's freely expressed and it's not obsessive, because you're acting it out when you know you're not pressing it down so it's oozing up. You're acting it out as it comes up. You let it flow out. So that's a really big piece. We all have that. And it's one of the ways that I have found to work with that seems the most effective is to surround yourself with people who are also trying to release that shame. I've seen a lot of shifts happen in the groups that I've taught over the years, where people get kudos for being, you know, flirty and sexy and flamboyant, and you know they get praised for that, or get affirmation for being such a juicy person. You know, it's like, It goes a long way when you get that positive reinforcement from your peers, and being around people like that is one way that really, really helps with that.
It really shifts when we start, you know, getting in touch with our body and how we're moving and how we're feeling and how we're channeling that energy. I taught a pole fitness class about 10-ish years ago. And the most beautiful thing I used to watch when doing the dance is women stepping in to releasing their body shame and loving their bodies, you know, really tapping into that sexuality. Really, I saw them blossom and open up during that process. I want to go back to that repression though, and that shame and, you know, that societal conditioning. Let's talk about, you know, how society has repressed us and created this shame within our bodies and minds.
Yeah. Well, it's a legacy of thousands of years, really. I think that it started happening when the patriarchy started coming in, you know, they wanted, I think it's based in economics, really. They wanted to have money and land inherited through the male line, and the only way they could know for sure that the child that the woman was having was that man's child was to make her only be belonging to that man, you know, so there is that kind of restriction and shaming that came through religion, but was related to economics, which kind of everything is. And at the same time that happened, and the goddess worship was really attacked, and so that was another piece of it, and the connection with the earth, our human connection with the earth, was diminished and kind of made less than, derogatory, that whole sexual feminine earth energy was considered less than, and the sky god, the old man in the sky, became the god. And I think that was the root of it, and it was a method of control. If you can control people's sexuality, you've really got them. You know, you got them by the balls if it's a man.
Yeah, and it's really our sexual energy, that potency that's connected to our kundalini, that's mm-hmm. in Indian philosophy, that's that mm-hmm. root, that once that opens and that energy starts flowing, it directly connects us to our spirituality. I really think that Sunday was supposed to be this day of celebration, where we're making love all day and reaching mm-hmm. spirit in that way, and what actually happened was that closing down of sexual energy and making you dependent on other, mm-hmm. To reach God, to get to heaven, yeah. right? That shut everything down. And like you said, completely disconnected us from earth. And I think what we're seeing, like as consciousness raises around the planet during the shift that we're going through, that, we are starting to reconnect to the earth. Like, oh yeah, we are part of this earth. Like not only are we connecting to ourselves again, reprioritizing life, mm-hmm. but also reconnecting to the planet as well. Like yeah. we're in relationship with this planet. It's part of us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You're totally right. And I really think that, you said Sunday should be fun day.
Yeah. Sunday fun day. I like that.
And I actually do that. My partner and I spend it one day a week that's dedicated towards lovemaking or intimate connection in one way or another. And it is my worship and his. It's lovemaking, but it's the devotion to spirit, to our spiritual path. And it creates an amazing opening, that energy. I look at it a lot of times like rocket fuel, the rocket, when they launch, they have this flame at the bottom that propels it upward. And that's what happens with our kundalini energy. It's, you can't see me now, but I'm pointing to my pelvis, and that the kundalini lives in the pelvis, and it, the flame, it's fiery energy, and the flame sends that rocket up, and we go off into source energy, or heaven, or whatever you want to call it, God, the divine, whatever the name is, it's innameable, really.
It really, yeah. And that energy is our life force.
Yes.
So why deny it? We should be seeking, we should all be seeking to open that life force energy and reclaim that personal empowerment around, not only our energy bodies, but, sexual energy, because that sexual energy can sometimes be that first inkling to the awakening of the kundalini.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's the sexual energy really amps up the kundalini energy. There are many ways to access kundalini, like breath and movement and meditation, and all those things are beautiful ways. And when you add sexual energy to that, it just takes it to a different different level of intensity. It's a fiery path.
Yes. Can you speak to that opening, you know, of that sexual energy as a pathway to spirituality?
Yeah. You know, I can tell you a story about something that happened with me and my partner, John, a few years ago that was one of the most direct experiences that I've had with that. We were making love and I was kind of lying back and he was pleasuring me. And I was just kind of, I had my eyes closed and I kind of was inward. And I got the impulse to imagine my yoni, and I should say what yoni means. Some people may not know that word. Yoni is a Sanskrit word that means vagina or vulva, and its literal translation is sacred space. And I love that. And while I'm at that, lingam is the word for penis, and its literal translation is wand of light. And I see that penis, the lingam, as the transmitter of the light, that, you know, source energy comes in through the man down and out his lingam into the woman. So, and I can feel that with him. So that's, you know, that's something we play with quite a bit. But anyway, back to the story. I was imagining my yoni as a portal, a cosmic portal. And all of a sudden, I got a vision with my eyes closed. There was a black background, and there were these golden rays of light coming out from a darker center that was shaped like a yoni. So there was this like rays of light like that. And that was there for a minute or two. And then I shifted and I went into a completely different realm. I went into a place that was like this liquid floaty light that was permeated with love. And I was just, it was infinite. There was nothing else there but the light. And it was, you know, it was a glimpse of source energy. It was a glimpse of where we come from and where we go to after death. And it was this little flash of enlightenment, and it was just so beautiful. It was it was so amazing. And I went into an orgasm just from that experience. It was one of the most beautiful experiences of my life. I can still feel it. And it happened from a willingness to open to that energy. The yoni was open, and I was receiving that energy. You know, he was giving to me in devotion and adoration, and I was, you know, just receiving it. And it was just so beautiful. It was lovely. It was what they talk about.
Yes. What a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. And as an empath, I could feel the energy like coming, just opening up your heart and streaming up. And yeah, what a beautiful experience. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That's nice. That feels good. How can someone express this in their lives and tap into that source energy?
Well, the easiest way is to start cultivating a different attitude about sexuality, to cultivate, it's easiest to start with yourself, really. And you can do things like, you could do a self-pleasuring ritual where you maybe make love to yourself in front of a mirror and look into your eyes and see your beauty looking back at you, seeing your soul looking back at you. That's a very powerful experience, to self-pleasure in front of a mirror, because we're the most beautiful when we're running that energy, and you get to see a side of yourself that is not always, you don't always see when you're checking your makeup or brushing your teeth or something like that. You don't always see that same beauty as when you're like, you know, dissolving into bliss, you know. So self-pleasuring and saying things like, this is divine energy, this is my goddess nature, this is my erotic divine feminine, and I embrace it and I open to it and I ask for more. That would be a really sweet way to start with it. Or to walk through the world, swishing your hips and feeling your pelvis as you walk through the world, and feeling your feet connecting to the earth and your pelvis moving and your spine moving, because your pelvis is moving and because you're not holding yourself rigid, but you're letting your whole body move when you walk. That's it. That would be another really simple way to connect with your erotic divine feminine. Nice. And fun.
Yes. After 30 years of practicing sacred sexuality, what are the most beautiful things that you have seen in people as they expand and open up?
Oh, it's just so much fun to start seeing people loving themselves, you know, because that's what happens when you start embracing such an essential part of who you are. There's like a transformation that starts happening where people start opening and blossoming and becoming more of who they are. Like one person pops into my mind when you say that, she was a woman who, when she came to me, she was very shut down. She was very sick. She was dealing with immune system and chronic fatigue stuff, and she was exhausted, and she was very kind of closed in and not very expressive, not very outgoing or exuberant. And she worked with me for several years, first in my women's groups and then later in groups with men and women together. And she started slowly coming out a little at a time. And I watched her, you know, she started eventually dressing differently. She would put a flower behind her ear or wear these colorful flowy clothing. And she, you know, she just got like, you know, she just settled into herself, into her femininity and into her expressiveness in such a beautiful way. And I ran into her a few years later after she stopped working with me. And at that point, she had connected with a man. She was divorced when I first started working with her, and not in a relationship. And she had connected with a man who she loved, and they had gotten married, and I see her every once in a while. They've been married for 20 years now, and every time I see her, she says, if it wasn't for you, I could never have met him in the way that I needed to be able to meet him. I would have been too shut down. But you changed my life. You enabled me to be able to be there in a way that was open and available. And, you know, hearing stories like that, I can't tell you how many people have told me that I changed their life. It's people that I didn't even know until I saw them years later. I didn't even know that that was happening, if they were in my group, particularly because they weren't. I wasn't hearing the whole story of their lives all the time. Wow. In group experiences. So that's just, you know, to have that effect on people, you know, that's why I'm here. It's, you know, I came here to be in service and to have a positive effect. And so it really touches me when I hear a story like that.
That's beautiful. And that so often can be the case. I know post relationship for me, you know, stepping out into the dating world, one of my fears was attracting, you know, what I had before. And when I started, you know, thriving afterwards, after doing, you know, a lot of healing work and learning about myself and empowering myself and then stepping into sacred sexuality and healing that aspect of myself, I stepped into more of a more empowered space in within myself and actually started magnetizing people to me, you know, that were very respectful, that stand in integrity, very good communicators. You know, you literally attract something different into your life when you step into a new way of being, into this more empowered self. That's a beautiful story you shared about that woman and how she started to open up and step into that experience of herself and feel more confident and empowered. It's a beautiful story. It's almost like, you know, she's learning, but also like she's getting permission to be someone who she didn't know how to be before.
Yes. One of my friends called me a permissionary.
I love that.
It's really, that's what it is so much of the time. It's just somebody to say, hey, it's okay to be sexy. It's okay to be, you know, be a slut, you know. I taught a class once called Honoring the Divine Slut.
Oh, I love that. I have a t-shirt that says I love sluts in celebration of stepping into that anti-patriarchal view of a woman in her sexuality is, right? So I celebrate that. I love that class that you teach. Fantastic. Yeah. And it really is removing ourselves from that programming.
We are so powerful. We are so powerful. And our sexual energy is so much a part of our power. And it feels so good to step into it and claim it and be who we are and be all of who we are. It's what we're supposed to be doing here. We're supposed to be all of who we are. That's why we came here. You know?
Yeah. How do you see your work allowing people? I want to go back to this permission, you know, and you're working individually with people, you're doing workshops. What does that look like when you're offering this space of allowance to people to allow their selves to shine through?
It's a lot about validation, you know, and just encouraging people to get a little bigger and wilder. I kind of do it a little at a time because it can overwhelm people to be too, you know, to take too big of a step. So it's like a process of, you know, they may mention something that they did, and I'm like, way to go, all right, good for you, you know, and just like be their cheerleader, you know, and maybe drop in a little suggestion. Like there was a group where part of what we did was ceremony where people dressed up as a god or a goddess. And we did these ceremonies, and I was walking through where the women were changing clothing, and there was one woman who had a dress on with an inset of lace that went all the way up to her hip, and it was down to the floor, and she had underwear that was showing through that lace, and it was in a different color. And I walked by and I just said, you could lose the underwear, that'd be okay, it would look better without the panties showing through there. And she was like, I could. And then she did, you know, and it was just this little daring step. And to me, it was like, oh, just a fashion choice, you know. But for her, it was a big deal. And it was this, you know, it was just this little step that she didn't, she, you know, it was just her own little private process during that ceremony. So, you know, just dropping little bits of, oh, you could do this, you know, you can, you could dance for your partner, you know, you could not wear underwear in public. Mm-hmm. Wear a skirt and no underwear and feel your connection between the, you and the ground, you know, or, you know, just little playful things. It helps to have a lot of playfulness with it.
Oh, I love that you're bringing that play into it, because we're not taught, you know, when we're younger or, you know, starting to experience our sexuality, or we're getting older and stepping into, you know, our sexual lives. And, you know, there's things that we just don't get to bear witness to. And, you know, we age and we have this one way of doing things, you know, that was modeled for us or taught to us by church or school or, you know, society, parents, you know, what we saw in our lives in general. And we don't, like, our brains don't know that there's another way of being. We only know what we learned.
That
one little example of, oh, you could do this, it probably didn't even dawn on her, because maybe something she's never done before, you know, and just like planting that seed that there's other ways of being, you know, other ways of doing or expressing yourself.
Yeah. And you mentioned we're not taught. That's another thing that I work with in my groups, is going back to the basics. How do you learn the art of pleasuring? It's like bumbling around, trial and error. You know, I was a virgin with my boyfriend when I was 16, and he was a virgin too, and we were clueless, you know, and luckily I've figured it out along the way, but there's a lot that you can teach people that people don't really get. A lot of people don't understand it. They maybe haven't had as much experience. Nobody ever taught them, but it can be really helpful to just get down to the nitty gritty, you know. Like an example is, women like to be touched from the outside in towards the nipples and genitals. Don't start with the nipples and genitals, you know, start with the back and the legs and the arms and the head and work your way in, you know. And some people don't get that. And some women feel like they should be more open and ready before they are. And women open up slowly, and, you know, that's just natural. And, you know, just that, things like that, that seem like everybody should know, not everybody knows. And then there's no shame in that, because how do you know it until somebody teaches you? So and even just talking about it is risky for some people, but to talk about it in a very non-charged, matter-of-fact way, where it's not like, ooh, you know, talking about something bad, you know, but just like, yeah, nipples, genitals, you know, there are things.
Yeah, and you were talking about like your early, remember in my late teens and, you know, finally having that first sexual experience, and, you know, then my early 20s, and it was almost like this quest, this inner quest, because I knew there had to be, you know, something more, something bigger, something, like, I always felt like there was something missing. So I was always, you know, searching and experimenting and, you know, seeking, you know, that experience that my inner self really desired.
Yes.
So to be able to like go into a class like yours and get back to basics and, you know, learn, you know, just the basics of touch and connection and intimacy. It's like, you know, it makes it more intimate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just worked with a couple recently where that's exactly what we did. We got back to just how to lie. I guided them into lying facing each other and just like cut squiggling in so that they're fronts of their bodies touched, and I asked them to find what spot on their body wanted to feel touch and squiggle that spot in, and, you know, find a spot on your partner's body and just find where it feels good. Go for where it feels good. And that was just so basic. It's like babies know that, but if there's wounding, you know, in the baby relationship, there's wounding in the way that the body knows how to receive touch. There's, you know, there's trauma stored in the body. So with that couple, I was working with the very basics of trusting from the body. And that was the breakthrough point for them. You know, it needed to get down to that basic level of body trust with each other. And it was so simple to do, but it was so powerful. And this was a Zoom session, and I couldn't see them while they were lying down, and then they sat up again, and they both had these big grins on their face, and it was just like, oh, it was just so much fun to see them connecting after so much disconnect for so long and been disconnected. It was really beautiful.
Wow, that is beautiful. Powerful. Powerful work that you're doing with couples and individuals, for sure. I think that not only, you know, that trauma affects our physical bodies, but it also expresses that, you know, affects that expression within ourselves of being able to use our voice as well, and being able to name, you know, where we want to be touched or where it feels good in our bodies.
Yeah. It's really a big piece to learn to speak up, to learn to speak what your needs are and what your desires are, and to know that you'll be listened to is another big piece of it. That's, I do a lot of work with boundaries and with learning how to express boundaries in a way that isn't necessarily militant, but still takes up, you know, for yourself, stands up for yourself. Because there's a phase that people go through, I went through when I first started discovering boundaries, where I got like, I need boundaries, you know. And then there's like the pendulum swung back to the middle, and there's a way that I can express a boundary without having to get militant, because I trust that I have the power and the strength within me to keep that boundary, honor that boundary, and express it and insist on it without needing to get overly, you know, too much combative power.
So. I love that, because that's so true. I was just saying that to a client yesterday too, and I've said it a lot in the last couple of years, you know, where you go from not having a voice and pendulum's over here, and then it swings all the way far right, because you have to learn how to have the voice, and then it comes to neutral where you're able to express it there. And, but there's also this space of, there has to be safety created, right? Within, if you're partnered in relationship, to be able to be vulnerable, to be able to, you know, express yourself in the way that you need to express, and that partner needs to hear you, you know, in a safe way, you know, creating that safety for you, that container that gets created between two people.
Yes.
You know, there can't be any of the societal conditioning or patriarchy or shaming or blaming or anything like that that goes along, you know, with our experience, or it shuts everything down and, you know, puts vulnerability on the shelf.
You know? Yes. Yes. Very true. Yeah. Yeah. You know, one thing I say to couples that I work with is that nothing is just in the bedroom. Everything that's in the bedroom is in the rest of your life too. You know, the rest of your life, you know, it's all connected. So being able to listen, like you said, also being able to, if you're the partner of someone expressing a need or a desire or a boundary, to be able to hear it without defensiveness and without going into, oh, I did something wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm no good. She thinks I'm no good, blah, 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 you know, and just to be open to know that, to have the agreement or to have the trust, build the trust so that, like, if I say something to my partner, he knows that I love him and I think he's a wonderful lover and I'm passionate about our lovemaking. And if I say something, it's because I want it to be even better and we're on the same side. We're allies, we're not adversaries. And he said once, I asked him once if he had any advice for partners of sensitive women, because I'm really sensitive. And he said, drop your ego. Drop your ego and just listen.
That's great advice. Drop your ego and just listen, everybody. Yeah. And we want to be able to listen to our partner, because I think deep down, you know, we want to know what pleases them, right? Yes. We want them to feel comfortable and safe communicating to, you know, our loved ones, you know,
back
and forth, you know, to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Satya, this has been lovely. I want to touch before we end on your website. It speaks to sexual communion. Can you share with our audience about that, you know, before we wrap up?
Sure. Well, sexual communion is really about just what we've been talking about. It's about the sexual connection, creating a communion between yourself and your partner, if you have a partner, yourself and yourself. You can be in communion with yourself. You can be in communion with the divine. You can be in communion with all of that. So it's really about, we've been talking about it this whole time. Yeah. And one of the things that I would like to offer is that I have a special session called a Sexual Communion Gateway Session. And in that session, it's on the phone. And in that session, I help you get clear about what your challenges are in the area of sexual communion and what you'd like instead, and help you create a vision of what you would like to move toward. And then I give you some recommendations for how you can get started in doing that. And it might include working with me, it might not, if it doesn't seem like it's a good fit. But it wouldn't be a hard sell, a high pressure situation. I just really want to serve. And this is a way to connect with people and help me find a way to help you, whether it's with me or some other way. So you can go to the link on my website and get that sexual communion session if you would like it.
Awesome. I'll make sure that's down in the show notes too. Can you share your website with our audience, please?
Yes. It's called Satya Lila. I'll have to spell that. SatyaLila.info.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Perfect. And what is a pearl of wisdom you would like to share with our audience before we depart?
Oh, I think the pearl of wisdom that I would drop in the most is that the sexual energy is such a potent tool for so many different purposes. You can use it for enlightenment. You can use it to make love grow in your heart. You can use it to make love grow between you and a partner. It's a holy, holy force. that's what I would like to say. It's a holy force.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that, Satya. And thank you for joining me today. It's really been a pleasure to host you.
Yes, thank you. It's lovely to connect with you. Thank you very much.
Thanks. And thank you everyone for joining us. Definitely go online and check out Satya Leela's website and everything she has to offer. And you can find me at Raise the Vibe with Liz on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and my website, raisethevibewithliz.com. Thank you everyone. Remember to get out there and raise the vibe. Thanks everybody. Thank you for listening to today's show on Raise the Vibe with Liz. If you like this content and want to support me, please go to Patreon at Raise the Vibe with Liz or click the link in the description of this show. And remember, change starts with you. So get out there and raise the vibe. Thank you, everyone.